am going to practice the three B's and be brief, be brief, be brief. I bring you greetings on behalf of the 35 corporate and community board members of the Thurgood Marshall Scholarship Fund. You see, 20 years ago, no one would have thought that the vision of Dr. M. Joyce Payne, who was joined by five HBCU presidents, would have yielded more than 5,000 public HBCU alumni scholars with an average GPA of a 3.58. I think that deserves a big round of applause. And more than $50 million in scholarships and programmatic support. So we greet you on this historic day for Mafield. I want to pay a special tribute to my colleague, Leslie Baskerville, CEO of Mafield, for your outstanding vision and leadership. Your dedication to the work at hand is what is needed in these times. I want you to know that our board and our staff are committed to working with you shoulder to shoulder. And to underscore what we're here about, which is collaborations. About 1 month ago, the United Negro College Fund and the Thurgood Marshall Scholarship Fund joined forces to announce the first joint partnership with the Siemens Corporation, which funded $1 million of scholarships for students to pursue careers in teaching and the sciences. So we're already ahead of the game and doing the work. But as we commit ourselves to this new agenda and as we meet over the next few days to ponder the development of a new agenda for blacks in higher education, we must also recommit ourselves to Mafield's success and to helping it to succeed. Long before we had paid lobbyists and advocates on the Hill, there was Mafield who took little and did much. Long before we understood the Washington game, Mafield had already racked up the points for us and scored major policy and funding touchdowns for HBCUs. So Leslie, we want you to know that we got your back, sister. Lastly, as we dialogue about this new agenda, we must pledge ourselves to the joint forces and a collective vision to achieve our goals. That means public and private HBCUs, Thurgood Marshall, UNCF, and Mafield working together to achieve greater success for our institutions and for our students. Thank you.
Are you coming?
Is the consortium of 23 civil rights groups in this country, the NAACP, Urban League, Rainbow Push, NBCSL, and peripherally one day, NAFIA, as the evolution of the Big Six of the 60s. So oftentimes I begin my discussions with a discussion about the Black Leadership Forum. But today I want to, again, make my remarks brief. I want to thank Javon Bowles, Doc Thomas, and Leslie Baskerville for their drive and determination in the success of Mafield. It's funny when you hear politicians speak, it oftentimes takes you off the point that you wanted to make. But the first thing that took me off the point that I wanted to make is seeing all these young people in the audience. And I was struck last night at the Joint Center dinner. Sweet Honey in the Rock had a refrain in one of the songs, and it said, "We represent our grandmother's prayers and our grandfather's dreams, And when I saw these young people in this audience today, that's what you hit me with. So I understand the young lady from St. Paul that you represent more than you know. So in the next month, when you walk across that stage, I understand you represent dreams and prayers of generations gone by. The second thing about the young people what struck me was when Senator Allen was making reference to the draft and pipelines. NAFIO is constructing its own pipeline. Any leader that doesn't train a successor is seeking failure. So if a third of this audience is young people, you're training your successors. Oftentimes in the African-American community, we take the most talented athletes. You're about to have the draft. You can see the most talented black athletes and white athletes in the country who've been very sincere in fourth or fifth grade, given the best athletic training through high school, recruited from high school to go to private high schools, to go to Florida State and private colleges, gotten the best of everything, and oftentimes wonder in the African-American community why we don't do that with the future professors, scientists, doctors. And since I'm an activist, I say that because I had the privilege of interviewing James Forman before he passed, graduate of Wiley, past Tyler Houston Tillerson. Mine is active and sharp. 2 months before he passed, despite the fact he was blind and had lost his legs to diabetes. Then I was struck in October, it must have been October, November, James Forman passed, author of 8 books, Making the Black Revolutionary, which any young activist should read, graduate of Roosevelt College. And I watched his tribute at People's Church. And I remember his son saying, "We've packed the church today, but we wish you would have helped us when he was alive." We don't need to blame young people for not being as active as they can be. We're not going back and getting these James Farmers, Walter Fontrails, who's in the audience, and have them as visiting professors to teach the next generation instead of cobbling together through reading lists and internships how to become an activist. It's the art by which we're in this hotel today. 4 years ago, we wouldn't have been with the Riverman Park. You do understand that, right? Lastly, I want to have one solution, just one solution, and I was talking to Dr. Payne about it earlier, and the Black Leadership Forum is very willing to put as many resources to cobble together this little small initiative, but it's a pay is cruelly, and that is, we need to relook at the Morrill Act of 1882. The Morrill Act, Senator Allen was talking about African HBCUs, the separate better Negro funding. He agrees that you don't have faculty and resources. It's obvious. Secretary Spelling asked why we don't have NASA physicists in our schools. Okay. There's no solution. There's a whereas, but no therefore. We're not talking about therefore. The therefore is, if in 1862 the Morrill Act funded LSU, Texas A&M, and then in 1882 the land grant colleges come through and they support the founding of Southern University, Prairie View. And if you would use, as I, in my own research, cobble together just, and I don't have history departments like you do with professors who do research every day, and I can make the argument that less than 45% of the funding that HBCUs at these land-grant colleges via the federal government, so you don't have the state weighing on you, via the federal government was underfunded. I want that money, and I want it with interest. Because you're looking at 80 years that you were underfunded. If you got with HBCUs and these land-grant colleges that received this money, 30 years, maybe you wouldn't have faculty problems or resource problems. So what I would like to do with BLF is to look at the Morrill Act. Okay. Am I making sense to y'all? That there is precedent in this matter. Is anybody here from Prairie View? Okay. My state legislator, Wilhelmina Delka. Wilhelmina Delka from Austin, state rep in Austin. Wilhelmina Delka, 10 years ago, went back and looked at the state of Texas funding. Should have received, Prairie View should have received the same money from the oil fund that Texas A&M received, and they never did. Representative Delco went back and forced them to repay that money, and if you go to Prairie View now, you will see that they received near $100 million. It was near $100 million. Okay. There's precedent to this. Separate. Everyone talks about separate but equal, but you're not trying to make it equitable. Now, there's obviously separate but equal, and that's what I wanted to ask Senator Allen. If it's that obvious it's separate but equal, how are you trying to make it equal? Not via legislation, but the money. We've had jobs for years, and we need some contracts and want the money. So, that's really the 2 points I wanted to make. The last point is the jobs you do, you just never know how you affect anyone. Your jobs are a testament to the professional achievement of the impossible. NAFIO, United Negro College Fund, and many other organizations bring. I went to Houston Tennyson College, got my master's at Southern, and PhD from Howard. You just never know who you are affecting. So I really look forward to working with these young people. Prayerfully, if we receive some money from the Morrill Act, we can build business schools that will affect, because many of the land-grant colleges do not have business schools. So if you put a business school, a graduate business school, at Southern University, you would change the course of Louisiana. You put one at Alcorn State, you would change the course of African-American business for the next generation. So I look forward to working with you on these endeavors. Thank you very much.